Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you another broadcast time together. You tuned me in this morning either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome you. Others have tuned in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others of you have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you that's listening by the way of my website, because that's where I have my messages now, is Pastor Ken Harger. That's my website, and then you go to Storage for the Radio, and you can click on and listen right there, or you can download whichever you so desire to do. They're going to be on Sermon Cloud as well, so those of you that's been used to listening to Sermon Cloud, it's going to be on there the same way that you always did before. Well, I believe that takes care of those things. I need to say thank you to the ones that help us with the financial support. But before I do, I need to give an invitation. If there's somebody out there that would like to become a supporter of my broadcast on the Sundays, I need another supporter to take the place of one that is not going to be supporting the broadcast right now. So I just need to have you, if you're interested, just give me a call. Pastor Ken Harger, and or send me an email, and I'd sure be glad to have you as part of my team that is helping me do the radio broadcast. So I need to say thank you to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran from Dayton, Tennessee, and then also Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave from Greenville, and to Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan. Thank you so much for your financial support. And to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music this morning. I want to give a special announcement of something that's coming up at Shiloh. It's on December 8th and 9th. I'll mention it again next week. But on the 8th and 9th, we have our time out at the campground. We have a live nativity at our campground, and there's a lot of directions. I just come to the church area and take Long Lake Road to the west instead of, to the east rather, instead of to the west, and you'll see the campground because they'll have signs there. And they have horses and wagons, and they'll give you a ride through the story of the coming of the Lord Jesus. So I'll mention that for you right now, and then I'll mention it again next week. But I also want to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Our weekend of worship, as we call it, at Shiloh starts Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. And then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, in the old Lutheran church up by the new McDonald's store there, the Sunday morning service there is at 11 o'clock. Any one of those services you'd like to attend, we'd love to have you be with us, okay? I'm continuing on this morning with the thought of Thanksgiving, but I'm doing it just a little differently with the idea that we're going to do some Thanksgiving. It's one thing to say thanks for things, but it's another thing to live as a person who is grateful and thankful for the things of life. Rather be the good things, the difficult things, we're going to learn that in all things we're told to give thanks. And so we're going to talk about that this morning for just a few moments and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and show us what we need to know in order to be what He wants us to be at the time of our individual life. Before we do, though, we'll get started with a song, and this song is saying, I start my day with prayer, and that's not a bad idea. He's reminding us that's a good idea. I start my day with prayer because I know that this God not only hears prayer, but He answers prayer. And so that's why we want to come to Him. His ear is always open unto our voice, and we cry out to Him. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Thanksgiving, start my day with a prayer filled with praise. Let me tell you, I learned the joy of living, and it
is based upon the way I start my day. People ask me, they say, how are you so happy? Some have even asked what kind of pill I take. Well, let me tell you, I am high on life with Jesus, and it's all because of how I start my day. I start my day with a prayer of thanksgiving. Start my day with a prayer filled with praise. Let me tell you, I have learned the joy of living, and it's based upon the way I start my day. Feel defeated, why the good times seem to never roll your way. Well, I'm not saying that your life will be perfect, but I'm saying good things happen when we pray. There are those who only ask the Lord for mercy. There are those who pray for miracles each day. Well, one day I came up begging for forgiveness. Now I thank Him for the good things when of thanksgiving. Start my day with a prayer filled with praise. Let me tell you, I have learned the joy of living, and it's based upon the way I start my day. I start my day with a prayer of thanksgiving. I start my day with a prayer filled with praise.
What good advice that is for each and every one of us. Start my day in prayer. Start out with God and the things of the good Lord that He has for each one of our lives. And I love the idea of that song. That's what I'm going to be speaking about. I have learned the joy of living. And that's the idea of starting my day with prayer, but starting my day with thanksgiving. And I have learned the joy of living. That this thing called Thanksgiving is a beautiful thing in each one of our lives. It'll help us to be grateful and appreciate whatever is coming our way. So we're going to address that, but first let me have a word of prayer. And I especially want to pray for our listening audience that God's richest blessing would be upon them today. So Father, I thank you right now for each person that is tuned us in and we're listening to our broadcast time. Wherever they're hearing it, wherever they're listening to it, I just ask our Father that you would bless each and every one. Father, I come to you with the listening audience. I don't know what all has been going on in their lives through the week, but I do know that I've been busy doing funerals, and so there's been a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a lot of agony that people are going through and giving up their loved ones. And so I just want to come and pray for those this morning that maybe that's what's happened to them in these last few weeks is they've given up a loved one. And I pray that your special comfort would be upon them and you would give them the encouragement that they need and the strength that they need for their own life. And I pray, Father, for others that's going through physical problems. When we are sick very long physically, it really bothers us tremendously. So I pray for those that may be going through some sickness in their life. And I want to pray for those that maybe a Thanksgiving time wasn't the best time they've ever had because there's some friction in the family. And Father, it seems like today there's a lot of friction within the family unit. And I just pray that you would bless the family and bless the listening audience's family members, that you would just minister through them and to them in a very special way. And then, dear fathers, we come to you when I remember those that may be going through a tough time financially. Maybe some are even under the hearing of my voice having to decide between food and medication. I just pray, Father, that you would meet the financial needs of the listening audience as well. Go with us now, Father, as we look into your word. We want to think this morning, Father, about living life as a thankful person. Just grateful to you and grateful to others for the blessing and encouragement and the strength that we have. I pray these favors In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, what a privilege it is to think about giving some idea for our life that may change some of the ways we're looking at things. I'm thinking that this idea of having an attitude of thanksgiving is something that is very valuable to have as you and I are living life day by day. To have an attitude of thanksgiving or thankfulness. How sad it is that so many people have a negative attitude and so many people have a sour outlook on life. I believe there's a tremendous value in becoming a person that is thankful and that says that you're thankful and has that attitude within your heart that you are thankful. I like that this that came across in my study time. Thanksgiving is very important Christian virtue. Throughout the Bible, the Christian commands are to be thankful. All the commands of God are for our benefit. An attitude of thanksgiving is a virtue that will influence other attitudes in your life. I love what God shared about this, by the kind of attitude we have. When he came across in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and through 18, God is saying to you, you know what? You need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Listen to what he says now. And he's talking to Christian people. People who believe in this God and yet have maybe a sour outlook in life. People who believe in God and yet maybe have a negative outlook on life. It's going to be a valuable thing in your life to have an attitude of thanksgiving. We encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right, to cheer up those who are discouraged, to help the weak, and to be patient with everyone, making sure that no one ever pays back one wrong for another wrong. Now, here's the instead. That sounds like the way many people live life. Discouraged, they need instructions because they're not doing things the right way, so to speak, as far as God's word is concerned. And he's teaching us to have patience with one another. But this is what he says. This is the difference that we can have in our life as we allow God to go to work and give us that attitude of thanksgiving. Always try to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks. Whatever happens in your life, give thanks. Because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you would do this. God wants you to be a thankful person. Because he knows this thankful person will be able to reach out and touch other people's lives and cause them to have some blessing in their life. And that's why I'm speaking this after Thanksgiving time, is to get us to think about living every day of our life with thanksgiving. An attitude of thanksgiving will affect your thoughts. It'll affect your words, it'll affect your actions and even your reactions. It will affect your relationships and responses, including the offenses that have come your direction. And it's also the realization that you have a choice to do this on a daily basis. Because when you make these choices today, you're affecting your tomorrow. And if you choose today to be grateful for today, it's going to affect your tomorrows. First, instruct those that are not living right, he told us. Cheer up those who are discouraged. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. This gives us something to do to help other people. If you can help other people to improve their life, to improve their attitude towards life, it'll produce in you thanks to God that you used me to do something good. I think that's important, folks. I think that's tremendously important for you to know that God is going to use your life to touch the life of somebody else. Second thought, he reminds us, do not repay evil with evil. That never works out. That's not a good thing. Always be joyful. He's reminded us, never stop praying. There's a danger in anyone's life of stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks. This is God's will for you. I have a little picture that I'm looking at. It says, Thanksgiving is not a time of the year, but Thanksgiving is a time, is an attitude of the heart. And I believe it is, folks. It's an attitude of the heart as we reach out to other people. I like what is we've been reminded of in the book of James. We went through the book of James a while back, and James 1:16 through 18 says this, and this is one of my things that I call upon very often. Often I even pray this verse on when I'm doing a funeral service. Every good and every perfect gift is from God. These gifts come down from the Creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars. God does not change like the shifting shadows. God decided to give us life through the word of truth. He wanted us to be the most important of all the things He created. I still haven't got over that idea. I've shared it in the book of James when I went through there, that God wants you to be His choicest treasure of all the creation. When you think of the moon, the sun, the stars, and all of that that He created, and then He says God wants you to be the most precious, the most favored. He wants to delight in you as the most important thing of all of His creation is the human race. I think we sometimes have messed it up quite a bit, but you know what? I think that's just a good thing for us to get into our hearts. That's going to help us to begin to think like not only a positive attitude, but a thankful attitude. That of everything God created, the sun, moon, and stars, He wants you to be the choice of all of His number one thing of His creation. I want to ask, what is it that should be the foundation of thanksgiving and living thankful? I think the foundation should go back to the thought that we shared last week when we shared the idea of bow down before your Maker. Bow down before your Maker. We're living in a time when people seem to think that they've made themselves. Seems to think they owe nothing to God. It's a generation of time whereby we think, hey, you can accomplish whatever you want to. This old saying used to be, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I think what I believe with all my heart is the idea of a heart of appreciation, when we remember the good gifts of our life that has come down from the one who created us. He created us, but not only has He created us, but He also created the sun, the moon, and the stars. But listen, He wants you and I to be the most important part of all of His creations. I have enjoyed learning how to use a computer. It has really helped me a lot in my everyday work life, especially doing funerals. I learned to get into different programs on my computer. I learned I needed a password for each program. And I love to share with you what I think is God's password into His kingdom. Psalm 104 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him and bless His name. I would like to think that the entrance into God's presence, into His very presence, I like to think that that is thanks. Thanks. That's the password. Thanks. We got to start saying it. We got to start thinking it. We got to start living with an attitude of thanks. Came over last night and turned the furnace on my I'm here at my lighthouse, and I got to tell you, folks, last week it didn't keep running for some reason, and I came over and turned it on last night. When I came over this morning and I opened the door and heard it running, I just couldn't do anything else but say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. My room is going to be warm. I'm sitting here at the lake, and I got to tell you, there's nobody on the lake. The ways, it's windy. It's a Wednesday morning, that I'm putting the service together, and it's pretty windy. And the lake is high, so the waves are pretty good, bouncing against the sea wall and so on. But, you know, as I sit here, I'm thinking, thanks, Father. What a beautiful place I have to do my radio broadcast. What a beautiful place to live here at Long Lake. I love our home. I love the surroundings. And yet, when you and I pause, when's the last time you said, thanks? Thanks, God, for my house. Thanks, God, for my neighbors. Thank you, Father, for the area that I live. I went out earlier this morning and took the garbage containers out by the road, and I was walking by and back to the house. And a car went by, and I couldn't help but think, folks. I thought, man, there's some places where people live, there's a drive-by shooting. I think, thanks, Father. Thanks for the place that I live. I think we need to remind ourselves of all the good gifts God's given to us. God has given to us from above. Mainly, he's given to us his Son, the Lord Jesus, and all that Jesus brought with him, all that he brings into our life. Our lives are in the best possible way of being a blessing. I've questioned what is asked about the purpose of God's goodness. Sometimes I wonder to myself, how come God could be so good to us when we haven't been that good to him? But in Romans 2:4, this question is, do you despise the goodness of God? Don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? When I think I do not deserve anything from God, and when I think of how good God has been to me, I want to respond with the words of David that I learned many, many years ago in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When's the last time you said that? Surely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When's the last time we gave thanks to God that he's been so good to each and every one of us in so many wonderful ways that he's reached out and touched our lives and caused us to go forward with the things that he wants us to do. Living thanks. That's what he's saying. We're living thanks. Living thanks is something that is really a good blessing for each one of us. And you know what he's saying in the one verse that we looked at? He's saying rejoicing. Rejoicing is an interesting thought. It's causing you to look around your circumstances, look within yourself, look around you, and just think of all the good that God has done for you. But then also just think of all the good that others have done for you. Just think of the goodness of your life. You know, if you want to, you can focus on the negative, all the bad that has happened. I remember someone saying one time, I thought, man, a lot of people have a lot of things to complain about. They seem to go wrong in their life. Then he said, I realize that things go wrong in people's lives because they're always complaining. We got to have some rejoicing. Some happiness in our life that, hey, God just did something good for us. That's what I felt when I said to you just a moment ago, when I found out the furnace had run all night and my room was nice and warm. Thank you, Jesus. I feel good about that. to say thank you for what he's done in my life and what he's done something simple for me. And we need to do that. I think we better take a moment and listen to a little short song that I got of the children singing. And I think this song coming from the children's voices can maybe be a little challenge to each one of us. And this little song is only a minute long. So we'll just take a moment and we'll listen to this. And then I'll be right back and share the message with you.
Rejoice in the Lord.
You get the idea? Rejoice! Them children's voices just singing that in your ears and my ear. Just wants to have us pick up from the idea of the negativism of life and rejoice in the goodness that God has been giving to us. So we're not just having Thanksgiving be a day that we set aside whereby we pause and remember Him, but we're living life, living every day of life. With something that we got thanksgiving, we're rejoicing about. Rejoice again. And again we'll be able to do that. But it's so easy, folks. It's so easy for us to forget to be thankful. I want to reflect upon what happened one time in the life of the Lord Jesus. Just in the everyday walking of his life. As he was moving from one town to the next town, he met 10 lepers. And leprosy was a dreaded disease. And with leprosy, you couldn't be within the community. Matter of fact, I found out that sometimes those that had leprosy, when they see you walking towards them, they say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't get near me. I'm contagious. I think that's something that was desperate for a way to live their life. And there's a story recorded about this in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at the distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, the disease they had, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. And he is giving Jesus thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? That's what the Jews looked at the Samaritans as, foreigners. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I got to tell you, folks, I love the Lord Jesus. I love his attitude. But sometimes when I see the things he had to put up with on planet Earth, I love him even more. Can you imagine the power that he had displayed that a dreaded disease that was so contagious and forced these people to live in distance from the regular society. And there was a rule at the time that if you were ever cleansed from leprosy, in order to get reinstated into the community, you had to go before the priest and present yourself as one that was cured. Leprosy in Jesus' day is as dreaded as cancer is in our day. All 10 of them men were dealing with the same thing. They all cried out, "Jesus, have mercy, Jesus, have mercy." When Jesus saw them, he responded to all 10 of them, "Go show yourself to the priest," because that's what they needed to do. And on the way, they were healed. Someone could say to me, "But Pastor, Jesus said go show himself to the priest." Yeah, that's what he has to do in order to get returned to society. But there's one of them that pauses. I think that's what it takes in our life, is to pause and think of something that just happened. As simply as the furnace kept burning all night, to say, "Thank you. Thank you." It takes a pause. And so many times today, we don't use any pause buttons in our life. Pause and consider what just took place. These men could look at their hands and tell for sure they had been healed. They could see on their arms, they could see on one another, "We've been healed. Let's quickly get to the priest." And they go on their journey so they can do what they want to do with the rest of their life. But that one Jesus that they cried out for mercy, he had done something for them. And then one of them turns and goes back. I love the way he did. He fell at the feet of Jesus. I said a couple times now in the last few weeks, bow down to your Creator. Bow down to your Redeemer, Jesus. And he bowed down before him and gave thanks to the Lord. Jesus asked a question, not of this man, but he's asking this question, I believe, of all mankind. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? The one you'd least expect to be grateful? He'd expect the Jewish people who had all the Jewish trainings and so on that they would be grateful and thankful. You know, no one but this foreigner. In our day, we might ask, is it the only one out of 10 that paused to give thanks to Jesus for what he's done? Is it only about 1 out of 10 that would come down and bow before him and say, "Thank you"? I hope it's better than that. I hope we are individuals that are grateful. Gratefulness in our life is going to cause our life to be so much different. If we just go on living our life without any pauses of thanksgiving, it's really dangerous what we could turn into. Because the Bible told us, and I've mentioned that once before already last week, that a group of people became unthankful and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I love what happens next with Jesus and this individual. And this is what I want us to think about for a few moments. We miss, so to speak, a second blessing when we don't pause and say thank you. I think that's why your mama, when somebody gave you something, I think that's why your mama responded quite quickly. Did you say thank you? Did you say thank you? But something within each one of our lives should say that to us automatically. When something wonderful and good has happened in our life, we shouldn't have to have our mother at age 84 say, "Did you say thank you? Did you say thank you?" or at 24. We should just thank the Lord. I don't know about you, but I hear a little disappointment in Jesus' voice. Were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? I see some heaviness in Jesus' thought. Is this the kind of people I'm coming to die for? Where's the 9? The one that came back is the one that's down, looked down upon by the others. And yet he paused and said, thank you. So the second blessing he gave to this man, he said, stand up and go your way. The others had already went their way. But stand up, he said, and go your way. Listen, your faith has made you well. God pronounces a second blessing upon his life. He said, your faith is working for you. Go, and peace will go with you. I don't want to miss out on the second blessings. The second blessings are the things whereby you feel good within yourself, that you recognize that something was just done for you from that great and mighty God, our Creator. He did something special. I don't want to leave it there, though. We can't leave it there because we need to go on just a little further. Because I think this living thanks is what God is saying to each one of us, no matter what our background is, that we need to grow outside of ourselves. Grow outside of ourselves is the kind of idea that I want to think about when I'm thinking about, we don't need our mothers to tell us, did you say thank you? We've grown outside of ourselves to have appreciation, not only for what we have, but also what we have become and the privilege that God gives us to help somebody else along their journey of life because of what we have experienced in our life. The Lord Jesus, when he has given his Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew chapter 5, he's saying, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I think that's overwhelming sometimes to think you are the light of the world. There's so many times in life whereby you're discouraged because you haven't realized or come to that place to realize that God wants to use you to help somebody else. I don't know how many times in my life I have went somewhere to be a blessing to somebody else and ended up being blessed myself. But God wants us, he says. You're light. You are the light of the world. Now we can see this and we know this. A city built on a high hill cannot be hid. And no one lights a lamp to put underneath a bushel, a basket. They light a lamp to put it on the stand. And it gives light for all the house, for everyone to see. In the same way, Jesus said. I like the same ways that Jesus does it. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. I like a paraphrase from the translation called The Message. It's not a translation, it's just a paraphrase. He said, could it be possible that it sounds like this? So here's what he says. Here another way to put it. You're here to be a light, to bring out God's colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as the city on a hill. It makes you light bearers. You don't think I'm going to hide my light underneath a bucket. God says, I don't want you to do that. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop or a light stand, shine. Just shine. That's what he's saying. Keep open house. I like that statement. Keep open house. Be generous with your life. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. God's saying, you know what? If you're living life thankfully, then you're going to be a light to some others. And that's what God's saying. That's why I have you in my heart. That's why I have you in my life. You see, God wants us as an individual to reach out and help other individuals, because in so doing, he knows that helps us. Now follow that again. Doesn't that sound sensible to you? When you reach out and help somebody else in their life, you actually end up helping yourself. And God says, I want to use you like putting on a lampstand. The kind of lamps I remember in the days when I was growing up, my was kerosene lamps. And I realized that every now and then, Mama would clean the little glass shade that went over. And man, that was thin glass, and she was very careful. But I also know that sometimes when the candlelight would be burning out of the lamp, it would kind of get a little bit of dirtiness on the lamp, the shade, the thing that went over it. And she would clean it. And then how much brighter the light would be. You see, it would light up brighter. And God's saying, that's what I want your life. Living life thanks is to allow God to work in our life and then to allow God to work through our life. Jesus is saying we are here to be a light to the world that we're living in. He said, I'm going to put you on. I'm not going to put you on a bucket. I'm going to put you on a lampstand that others might be able to see. I love the idea of being gracious with our life. Let me say that again. Being gracious or generous with our life. Willing to share our life. Willing to share our time, our talents, our gifts. Not only our things, but our very life. Willing to share your time. You see, life is made up of time. We're all going to have so much time on planet Earth, and I'm so glad we don't know how much time we have. I love that in the scripture when I learned it that we had 70, then maybe we might get 80. And now that I'm 83, working towards 84, I think life is time. And the time I can share to be a benefit to somebody else's life is a beautiful thing to do. Because God is generous, and he spent time with us. People who show genuine thankfulness are healthy people, I believe. It's hard to be truly thankful and then to be self-centered at the same time. You can't do that. There's a sense of great appreciation that enters into our life when God has used us to help somebody else in their journey of life. Something happens within inside of each one of us that causes that to be something that is very special. I remember what Jesus told the disciples. Whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's like if you're just going to live for yourself, you're going to lose your life. It'll be worthless when it's done. But if you're going to live to help bring benefit to others, if the things that you have learned in life, the lessons that you've been a part of your life, you're able to pass on, that's going to be something that is beneficial, something that's going to count for eternity to be a source of comfort and strength to somebody else's life. So that's what I want to close with, one more thought. One more thought on the idea of how we can make our life as we live thankfully, how God can use our life to help others. I just did 3 weeks in a row. I had 4 to 5 funerals every week. And that's a lot of time to spend in the presence of death. And I didn't have much training about funerals when I went to Bible school. We got about an hour training. That's all we received. And so when I was called to do my first funeral service, I was a pretty scared young man. And I decided that I would, after I got done with the service, I'm going to put some work into this. So what I did early on, I would go and visit. I asked a funeral homes, can I come and just sit in the back and watch what goes on? Not listen, not watch. And I think, well, that's not helping the people, what the minister was saying and some of the other things that were going on. And that helped. That is good. That was good. That's a good thing to do. And through doing that, I picked up what I thought I wanted to do. But I know when it really made its change in my heart and life was when I come to the conclusion that everybody has a story to tell. And everybody's story is important. And everybody's story should be told. That my life's like a story. But I'm going to do the funeral for this gentleman, and I don't know him. His life is a story. I need to sit with the family. The people who knew him. The people he lived with. The people he worked with. I need to sit with them to get his story. And so I would do that. I do that every funeral I do. I sit with the family, and they tell me the story of that individual, the things he liked, the things he liked to do, the fun times, the difficult times, where they can share it all with me. And I say, and I will tell his story. And so that's kind of why I started doing. Can I tell you something? Here a while back, I did a funeral service for a gentleman. I never met him in my life. And they asked me to do the funeral, but the family had a lot of good stories. And they shared with me stories that showed who he was, what made him tick, so to speak. And when I did the funeral service, I had somebody come up to me and say, Pastor, how long did you know him? You shared things that I've known him a long time, and I didn't know some of those things that you shared. I said, you know what? I never met him in my lifetime, and I just sat with the family and told me, tell me his story. Got a story, and your story needs to be told. And you know what? Your story is going to benefit somebody else. Your story is going to be a source of help to somebody else. It seems so simple, but I think it's so true. I believe that everybody's got a story. I've got a story. You've got a story. Every person's story needs to be told. And every person's story has some important factors to it. To continue my thought, I need to have you make this thought personal to you and your life. That your life is a story. And that your story needs to be told. And that your story is important as you tell it to others, it may help another person in their life. Now see, when we get used to doing that in lifetime, then I believe we're living thankfully. Because we'll find out that somebody's going through something, you can go through the idea that you've went through some similar experience. I say this at every funeral that I do. Whatever you have experienced in life, when you see somebody else going through a similar experience, you should reach out and help them because you know what they're going through. I explained it this way. The best one that can help the widow is those of you who are widows. The blessed one that can help the children is those of you that's lost your dad. See, that's what he's telling us, that we can be a helper to one another. The Bible verse I claim to myself, for myself rather, is to have a reason or a way of having maybe many reasons, that as you go through your journey in life and somebody says to you, what's your reason of hope? Man, how did you handle that? How do you do that? That you can give them an answer. And this is what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. but have reverence for Christ in your heart and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. You see, I think what God is saying to us, when you share your religion, an unbeliever looks at you as though you're a salesperson. But when you share the reason for your hope, the unbeliever can look at you as one that is a satisfied customer. And I tell you, I'm satisfied with God and Jesus. And I want to be a satisfied customer. I'm so glad that God told me how to share the reason of my hope when he said, do it with gentleness. When you speak, do it with respect. Respect for the other person. Respect for their life. In our world today, I believe with all of my heart, we need more gentleness. I believe with all of my heart, we need more respect for one another. We don't need to be judgmental so much as we are so often. Your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. So share your story. You've got a story to tell, and your story needs to be told. And that's something that's just pretty blessed for your life as an individual. I'm going to close with a song that I've used before. This man in this song, he's using this to tell us his story, that he had a kind of a relationship about religious things, but it wasn't a relationship that he had, so to speak, with God and what God would want for his life and what God would do through his life. It wasn't what we're talking about this morning, about living thankfully. Wasn't that way at all, but he wanted his life to change. Listen to his story.
I grew up reciting Bible verses, committing everyone to memory. But like Nicodemus when he met the teacher, I could finally see the Pharisee in me. I have always believed I believed in the right things to do and to say. But like Paul, I was traveling and blinded till I saw the life, the truth, and the way. In the darkness, God saw my need, saw my sorrow, my lust, and my greed. One touch of his hand, I was free. In my darkness, God saw my need. I could name you every book in the Bible, and I knew all the pretty words it took to pray. But like Zacchaeus, I was short on things that mattered, till the Lord stopped in at my house one day. Ah, it's a thin, thin line between a good man and one who knows he's been saved. Like Lazarus, I'm now a friend of Jesus, and this body's all I'm taking to the grave. In the darkness, God saw my need, all my sorrow, my lust, and my greed. Just one touch of his hand, I was free. In my darkness, God saw my need. In the darkness, God saw my need. Saw my sorrow, my lust, and my greed. Just one touch of his hand,